Broadcasting from the campus of Salisbury University, this is WSDL Ocean City 90.7 FM. It's time now for Delmarva Today with your host, Don Rush.
If you thought that roller derby isn't around anymore, think again. Let me introduce you to the Salisbury Roller Girls. Welcome to Delmarva Today. This is Don Rush. The origin of roller derby actually stretches back to the Chicago of the 1930s when Leo Seltzer and Damon Runyon added physical contact and teamwork to marathon roller skating races. Game grabbed national attention in the late 1940s when television broadcast the first live bouts, and even the networks aired the sport during the 1950s and 60s. By the 1980s, the sport had become scripted, and of course there was the famous film The Kansas City Bomber with Raquel Welch. Since the year 2000, sport has been revived with the Women's Flat Track Derby Association. And right here in the crosswords of Delmarva, we have the Salisbury Roller Girls. They range in age from the early 20s to the early 50s, and they come from all walks of life. And as I can attest, this is not a sport for the faint of heart. And I want to welcome you all. And instead of, you normally introduce this, the guests, but why don't you introduce yourselves, both your real name and then your team name. Eva, I'll start with you.
Sure. I'm Eva Paxton, and my derby name is Buster Skull.
And?
I'm Caitlin Marvel, and I go by Marva Lust.
And finally?
My name is Carol DeMar, and I go by Nitro Dame.
Okay, and before we get started, so Eva, what's behind your name? Why did you come up with that name?
Oh, gosh. Honestly, I had picked, like, a lot of other ones, like, toyed around with them, and this is just the one that was stuck. We try to register everyone's name so that you don't have the same name as somebody else, and this one wasn't picked, and I wanted people to call me Buster. I was thinking, like, something like Buster Keaton, but a lot of them were taken, like Buster Teethin was taken, so Buster Skull.
Okay, Caitlin?
Well, my last name's Marvel, and everyone's always called me Marvelous, no matter what I'm doing. They say how marvelous I am, and so I did a play on words with it.
and finally, Nitro, what's with that?
I had a hard time with my name. I had a hard time making a decision, but then I just started spelling my last name backwards, and it's N-I-T-R, and then it just, I don't know, kind of weird. I was around a campfire, and somebody said Nitro, and I think I said Dame, so Nitro Dame. That's how that happened.
Okay, so again, let me go back to Eva. So what got you into this game? I mean, you're actually one of the founders of the Salisbury Roller Girls. So what got you into the game, and then B, deciding to create this little franchise?
Well, I saw it on TV when I was like 16. I don't remember the show, but it was like just like a brief clip of people playing, and I was like, that looks awesome. So I looked into it. I think I was 16, yeah. And so then I started going to like every bout in like Wilmington and every bout in Pennsylvania and Baltimore, like counting down till my 18th birthday. And then on my 18th birthday, I joined the Wilmington City Rough Rollers. I skated there for a year. I was driving 2 hours each way to practice. It was a really long commute, 2 days a week. And then I started the Salisbury Roller Girls. I thought it was time we do this here.
By the way, did you have time? Do you have any trouble getting people to join and getting support, or what? How did the community respond?
What I did, honestly, I on Facebook. Well, I knew Carol was the first one, or Nitro, that I knew I'd be able to recruit her and her daughter, because I was lifeguarding at the time, and they were very interested. Like her daughter had been to bouts with me, and I knew that they were going to be my first recruits. And otherwise, I just got on Facebook and sent messages I had on Facebook friends. I just sent them all messages and said, hey, I'm doing this. Maybe you'd be interested. Put together an interest meeting. And we had, like, I wanted to cut it off at, like, kind of a small number in the beginning until we had a good base established. So we had, like, 12 members initially and then grew from there.
Doctor, I want to turn to you. And how did you get into this? And if you don't mind me asking, how old are you?
I'll be 53 this year.
You'll be 53 now.
She looks great.
<Isn't> she awesome.
Well, and we'll get to the toughness of a game in a moment. How did you get? I mean, is this a lifelong thing, or what? How did you?
I've just always roller skated. It's always been a favorite hobby of mine. I did more in middle school than at an older age. Obviously, I raised three children, but Eva worked with my daughter and talked about it a lot. She would skate in the parking lot after she would lifeguard, and my daughter was a lifeguard as well, and just talked about it. And like she said, she just asked us first if we were interested. So we said yes. My daughter and I said yes. She was the youngest one on the team, and me, obviously, the oldest. But she's moved on. She's at University of Alabama now. But my second daughter is now joined the the team. So we have three DeMartins in the roller derby.
And who are the two daughters? That, I mean,
the one that transferred from here, actually, SGU to University of Alabama, is her name is Kitty Puri, as Jessica DeMartin, and the new one that's just started is Alexandra DeMartin. She will be coming to SGU. She transferred from Florida to here, and her name is Allie Cat.
Okay, and how did you get involved? I mean, how did you? I mean, have you ever done this before? I mean, in terms of roller derby,
just been skating for a very, very long time. Just,
okay,
you know.
Do you remember the old roller derby? By the way,
a little bit, yes. And there was, I think, Raquel Welch had a movie.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
A little bit.
Okay.
On TV.
Okay, and finally, Marvelous, what? How did you wind up
with
this crew?
I was at work one day. I didn't get a Facebook email or anything. But I was at work, and they brought in a bunch of flyers saying they were going to start a team. And I always grew up playing a lot of contact sports, lots of physical sports. And I was like, yeah, I think this was going to do really well for me.
Okay.
And I went to a meeting, and I've been skating ever since.
Okay, I want to play a little clip here because I introduced this as not for the faint of heart, and I've watched you both in practice. Well, not, I guess, at a practice game as well. So just from the sound alone, we're gonna let people know just exactly what kind of game this is.
Oh gosh!
Bag is here.
So I want to ask you, and I'll start with Eva first. Have you ever heard just the sound of it?
I don't know. I probably not. I guess because I was just thinking. I was like, gosh, it's a lot of. You know, you can hear our footwork. You can hear a lot of
exactly.
Feet moving.
Yeah. So now this is definitely not for the as I said, the faint of heart. So when you're out there, how physical is this of a game?
I don't really. I mean, yeah, it's physical, and I guess it's pretty full contact. I think after you start doing it, that's kind of second nature. Like I played a kickball game the other day and accidentally pummeled this girl. So I think it becomes
definitely second nature to us.
Yeah.
Even in driving, people will say they try and like jam around other cars because that's the way we look at our world now.
The thing that draws me to the sport is let's try to squeeze by some, like try to squeeze by and try to keep somebody from getting by you. It's the more of like the positional aspect of it and the
speed. It is a game. Strategy.
I like the speed of it. I like the quickness. I like jumping in front of people. But, if I get hit down, I hop right back up. If I hit somebody down, hopefully they don't.
Hop right back up.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, you're known in this particular league as one of the fastest skaters here. I mean, you hold a record, I guess it is. I mean, what's the secret to that kind of speed? And how does that play into as you play this game?
I think it makes me really hard to hit, because you have to be ready to do it. Hopefully, that's the idea with being fast. And I guess the secret to being fast is, I don't know. That's
she's
a good question.
She's just little, and
I'm
she just
small.
Goes.
I know. I've seen her
I'm
zip
small.
Around the track. I mean, she's out of the pack, and the next thing you know, she's there again.
Yeah. I mean, I skate a lot outside. I train a lot doing distance and things. So. I guess that's a secret.
Okay, and Marvelous, what is it like in that? I assume that you're a blocker. Are you going to, okay,
I am a
right?
She can jam. Don't let her fool
but
you.
But she can jam, okay. All right.
Like
so what is it like out there? I mean, particularly, for you in terms of obviously the potential for injury, but also just that physicality.
Again, I love it. I grew up playing lacrosse, and I was a goalie for that. So I'm used to, like, moving quick and being able to stop things. Not a person as much as a ball in that aspect. But, it's in Buster's case and a lot of other jammers, it's just getting your wall together and keeping it slow and not letting her push on us. Because as soon as she starts to push us, we break up and then we become entities on our own instead of that one core. and it just becomes a little harder then. So the physicality is a lot. It's really setting in your ways and planting your feet rather than constantly rolling, which obviously, since we're on wheels, it's a little bit harder to just, like a soccer player can just stand there or so. And so it's difficult, but I love it. I wouldn't change anything about it.
Did you ever concern that you might hurt somebody?
I have hurt a lot of people. it's not a concern of mine.
I see. You don't. Wait, yeah, go ahead.
They come into this sport, you know, we sign waivers, we have insurance.
If I hurt a teammate, I feel a little bad. And it's at practice, you know, you stop and you want to make sure they're okay. But at the same time,
At practices, we all stop. We all take a knee, just like in a game, to make sure the person's okay and standing.
But, and then some people will feel really badly, like, oh, they, you know, were accidentally hurt after this incident. But I say, you know what, you signed up for it.
We had a girl break her leg at a practice. And...
How did that?
Usually those aren't those kinds of things aren't from a hit though.
It wasn't from a hit. It's the way they fall, the way their ankle turns. It's not necessarily from us vindictively hitting them.
Not at all from that. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's just like in roller skating in general. You know. It's not like on a. I always say, because I like to go to skate parks and things too. Like a skateboard, you can jump off of. If you're on roller skates and you start going down a funny way, you're going down that way anyway. But we take a lot of safety precautions as well, strength training and everything like that, and practicing our falls and falling safely. And of course, we wear full protective equipment.
Right.
So.
Nitro, what about you? Now, as we said, you're the oldest, and you, like me, are beginning to worry about bones and so on. So how do you deal with the physicality?
I think that my bones are pretty strong.
It's pretty good
from doing this roller derby. I take my calcium, but I will say it's kind of a little takes you back when Marv hits you, and sometimes I'm known for jumping off the track when I know she's getting ready to hit me. But I'm getting used to it. You just learn how to take hits, and you know, you just, like she says, we train to learn how to do it. For, you know, like my daughter's just starting, and she's a little nervous right now. But she's just starting to be hit a little bit.
She can take the hits, though.
But you just learn how to take it, and you just get used to it, and so.
Nitro is one of the less injury-prone skaters,
yeah,
I would
is
say.
That right?
Yeah, I'd say she's had, like, where I'll
her
have
toe
a...
right now, that's the only thing I've seen. I have this
ankle that's, like, habitually sprained, and Nitro, it's like, I don't know what, she's got some sort of, I think she might have sold her soul or something to look like that.
Or the wisdom anyway,
right? She is.
So, as a matter of fact, because talking about how hard people hit, we ran a piece earlier this morning about the Salisbury roller coaster, and one of the women, I can't remember who it was, who said that there was a woman, I guess, who, by the name of Wonder Brawl, mm-hmm. and she talked about how when she got hit by this person, that it just knocked, as she said, the snot out of her. She just, like, it just compressed her, and she said that every time that Wonder Brawl would hit her, it was just this, I mean, it was
she
just
was a very
really jarring.
Great. Serious hitter, as she's, I would compare her with Caitlin here. So
that's actually when I first started. I was like, I'm gonna hit like her one day.
You just bounce off her. I mean, there's just no.
People would come to hit her and me now, and they just, we don't move. We're
right,
just
you
like,
can't move her either. So
it's better to
so
just
that,
go
that's
around.
That's what's more. Then it comes into more positional playing, which
and what makes Buster also so good. I mean, Buster can hit you and knock you down really hard too. But it's great if she's trying to hit us, she's like, never mind, and she just jumps up and scoots
right
around us.
Yeah, you go a different route.
I think a lot of people, especially men, when you start talking about roller derby, they're like, oh, elbow, let's, you know, hitting. You know, they want to see hitting. They think it's, you know, attractive to see women hit each other. But the game really is more. You're more skilled if you can positionally block instead of the hitting is just kind of in a lot of cases just a last resort really. If the jammer's getting ready to get by, you're better player if you can positionally block someone. It takes more skill.
And there are rules in terms of what you can do. I mean, it's not like
elbow.
It's not a free for all.
Yeah, I mean, describe for me the sort of limits here because.
So you can't hit with your elbows or forearms. Like you can't swing through.
Right.
You can't block someone to the back, to the head, below mid thigh. You can't just pull someone. You can block with your chest. So there's a lot of kind of face-to-face that is going on more. You can block with your chest, to your chest. You can block with your back, with your hips. So mostly, like, the thing to remember is that you score a point as you pass, like, once you're by their hips. So if I were jamming and these two were blocking, their objective is to keep me behind them. Because as soon as I've gotten around their hips, I've already gotten their point.
So even if I were to, like, knock her out and reset her back, she's already got my point. She can't get it again until she comes back around. But for the time being, I'm done. She's gotten my point.
I mean, if I've gotten by her hips. I mean, if they can hit me down while keeping me behind them. So a lot of times what you'll see is, like Marv was explaining, that you want to set up a strong defense, all four people together. Because one-on-one, a jammer coming up with all that speed is going to be able to juke and move quickly through the pack. But you want to all be working together and set up a good defensive structure. So a lot of times you'll see two or three people forming a wall, one person playing off of them to make hits. So people are down a lot. I mean, especially if you use the people who can execute a hit effectively, if you use them well. But everyone else, that we're all working on, it's the footwork's sort of similar to hockey, you know, where you have
similar.
To use your edges and move quickly laterally and control your own speed.
Now, describe sort of for me a play, or as it were, so the strategy. Because, I mean, one of the things, by the way, that struck me as I watched the game is that it reminded me a lot of watching, say, the front line of a football game, in which, right, people are trying to get through when other people are trying to stop them. But they don't stop them just simply by standing in front of them. Rather, there's just all this maneuvering going on. Go ahead.
One of my favorite plays that I enjoy executing is called a Sasquatch.
Uh-huh.
And it's when...
It's easiest to explain, too.
It is. There's the four wall. There's both two four walls. Usually our wall may be broken up at that point, which it's okay. And we'll send one up for offense is usually where I'll go. And you just smush all four of the other team either into the inside or to the out. And then that just lets your jammer get by. And usually by that time, if I've gone in, another girl can come up and help counterbalance that. So I'm not just by myself knocking everyone out. So if one does get away, she can come in and take her out.
The game has changed so much just in the 3 years that we've all been skating. Like right now, we just went to a huge convention with all the best skaters in the country. Possibly I don't even know if they come from all over the world. Or were there?
They do. Mm-hmm.
And the things you see were just amazing. The new things. So then we bring all that. Our whole team goes, and there's three rinks going. There's a lot of really great skating going on. We bring those skills back, and then we start. We've been doing that for the last several weeks since we went to this convention. And backward skating is kind of new. That's where you're literally, we were doing that last night. That's a new skill that we're learning.
Yeah, I think it was used kind of more sporadically. But the more physical the jammers get to where, like if I'm jamming through and there's a four wall, because it's like, because it's a new sport and it's growing, as defense gets stronger, obviously the jammers have to get stronger. As the jammers get stronger, you know, we keep challenging each other, and it keeps growing in that way. So defense used to maybe be a little bit more spread out, like when I was watching even just five, you know, years ago or whatever. Then since everybody started really learning that walling up and staying tight was effective, jammers got effective at pushing forward until they went out of play. Because you have to stay in proximity in order to be able to continue blocking. You have to be within 10 feet of the pack, which is comprised of all the blockers. So if jammers push you out of play, you're no longer allowed to engage. So one way to combat that is let's get backwards, get up on our toe stops so that we're not able to be pushed so quickly.
Yeah.
I want to play a little other piece because you, I think it's Madman Skatermouth, I think is his name, who calls the game. And I want to hear a little bit about that and the kind of excitement that goes on. Let's play that.
Led Slinger taking advantage now as she is working her way around the track real quick and diving into line. Nice inside cut. They force her outside, but she gets hit with a cut track minor. Excuse me, no more minors. It's a no pass, no foul. Again, big blocker lines working her way out. Nice block by Copperfield coming out of turn four. The spread Lynn Slinger. She is still rolling. And picking up points, five big grand slam for Led Slinger here.
So, by the way, I want to ask you, are you aware at all of the announcer when you're out there?
No.
I mean, have you...
I'm not at all.
I think we tune him out a lot of times. If I hear my name every now and again, I'm like, oh, that's me. But most of the time, it's just background noise. We're focused on the game.
Typically, I don't hear either. But when he introduced us, or we just played last Sunday, he introduced. Mm-hmm. He did call me the Great Nitro Dame. I did. Ooh. Somehow I heard that.
Sometimes I feel like if I'm standing on the jammer line with the other jammer, and like there's a timeout or something, he'll be saying things, and I just kind of go like this because he's like.
He loves us to death.
Yeah, he gets just, he's so excited, he's so but he'll say things like, the legend, and I'm like, oh my gosh.
And it's really funny also, like, in saying that, because we will just sit and talk to the other players if mm-hmm. we're waiting, like, at a timeout. There is such a camaraderie still between other teams mm-hmm. that even though, you know, we may have just hit you as hard as we could, afterwards we're like, do you want to go get a drink?
Everyone respects one another because we all know how much work goes into it.
So, yeah, we'll just be standing there talking on the lines about what's going on. And it's just funny to see us cutting up together.
Because one of the things is when I was talking to him, he was talking about, I guess he calls games for a lot of the teams and so on. And one of the things.
I think he loves it more than we do sometimes.
He expresses this thing. It's like, I mean, because he said, well, I wanted to check it out, see whether it's real, that kind of thing. He said, but when is this, you know, his great admiration? I mean, if you could really come, and I guess it really comes out in his voice as well, mm-hmm. but I.
Yeah. He just traveled to Hanover, Pennsylvania last weekend, all the way to.
Where is he? Doesn't he? He lives like 3 hours from us, and he's at every game.
Yeah, he's only about an hour from Hanover, so that wasn't that bad. But yeah, 3 hours for us, and he comes to every.
In general, like the amount of dedication that comes from everyone involved with the sport, like sometimes if we're at a practice that's sort of like small attendance, like if it was the fourth, like we had practice on the 4th of July because they had a bout coming up, so we had practice, and you know, I just. Even if it's short numbers, I just sometimes will look at everyone there and I just think, wow, you know, like we're all choosing to do this and put aside so much of our time, so much of our energy, money, you know.
Yeah, we still practice on and around holidays. And it's, I mean, like she said, they are small, but there's still at least like 10 of us usually.
It amazes me how much everyone loves it and cares about it. So that, you know, the players, the volunteers, officials, announcers, everyone involved, really. I mean, it's
Derby sucks you in. Mm-hmm. Like once you, I've introduced so many people to it, just coming to the games. And I'm like, it's the best thing you're ever going to see. And they're like, okay, Marv, whatever. And then, you know, from now on, I've family and friends, 2 weeks from now for the 21st, who are going to Rhode Island Saturday, but they said we have to be home in time because there's a game that night. So they're coming, they're leaving early from Rhode Island to come back to watch Derby that night.
I was going to ask you about the fans. I mean, obviously
they're intense.
You can hear from the yelling. aside from you guys who are like doing the audibles and whatever, they really get excited.
I think what makes people love it, who are involved or who are just watching, is just that, I mean, this is just my thought. I'm sure a lot of people love the physicality of it, and I do too, but I think it's just that it's such a simple concept. Like, let's just try to get around this.
Right.
Let's try to get around. You know, I just think it's something that...
A lot of people overthink it, I think, mm-hmm. and fans are like, well, I don't understand what's going on, and by the second half, they have it down.
Yeah.
And
you just watch, when you're watching the jammer and you see, oh, she can maybe make it through that little hole right there.
And they start
in the
yelling
back.
Like to go in, to go out, and we're like, oh, well, just listen to the fans, you know, we're not gonna even do anything now.
So one of the things that, by the way, that did strike me is talking to a lot of folks there on the team is that there seems to be a sense of camaraderie. I think we alluded to this a moment ago. That this is, and this is a team, and this is, I think one of them said, this is a game that anybody, no matter what they look like, whatever body, whatever it is, they can play.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, obviously on the radio you can't look, but we are all very different builds sitting right here, and I think that there are different advantages to however you're built, and I think that it teaches you to respect the athleticism, it teaches you to respect athleticism in any individual regardless of their size.
And, you know, obviously we all come from different walks of life, like, We have lots of hairdressers on our team.
We have two now, but yeah, we have. They do seem to be drawn to it.
That's
bakers,
a common.
Bakers like it, but.
and being the older the group as it were, from what sense do you get? I mean, is there like there's a sense of like, I mean, as a matter of fact, somebody, they said, well, you know, I come in and if something, something's not going right, and people will, you know, will say, hey, you know, maybe you should do something differently. And even, I think Eva the other day was saying that she was playing in the opposite team, and she, when they got off the track or whatever, she was telling, coaching the other team, as it were. I mean, there seems to be this real group dynamic here.
Yes. Well, Eva's very supportive, and she just takes care of all of us and makes sure that sometimes Marv and I get a little
heated
with each other, whatever, on the track when we're practicing. And we love each other a lot, and we love playing together, and I love being in a line, you know, right there in a line with her when we actually have a real bout. I think we play well together. But we do get a little heated once in a while, and then we have to go talk to
So know, mom takes us aside.
Aside, yeah.
You know, she says, share the toys, and we're better.
And then overall, like, anytime, I mean, of course, like, it's a large group of women, so things like that happen. But I think what's amazing about it is that everyone does just, like, love and respect each other. And I think it's just, no matter how different you are, you have this common interest that involves so much of your time, so much of your life, and it's just becomes such a passion for everyone that you can relate to anyone, no matter how different they are in anything else. I would say Marv and I have very little. Well, we have some in common, but not that much.
Not at all. But Buster and I are really close.
Right, and it's because of that. Nitro and I have about everything in common.
And we do a lot of community stuff. Do you want to talk about that?
Go ahead.
Out in the community, and,
yeah,
and about the every bout, $1 of the proceeds goes to a cause, whether mm-hmm. it be cancer or
some sort of charity, or at least donating and making appearances at.
We do Relay for Life. This mm-hmm. will be our second one, but this one's going to be way
better.
We're coming for that Best Booth prize.
Just be ready, Salisbury.
Be ready. We look for ways to be involved, to give the sport a good name that it deserves, and be good representatives of the sport as a whole, and good examples in our community.
Every third Friday, a lot of you, I'm sure, know about Third Friday in Salisbury.
Mm-hmm. And right.
We're always there. The whole team might not necessarily be there, but there's always a handful of us there skating around, talking to people, handing out flyers and tickets. So we're everywhere.
Yeah, one of the things I noticed when I went to the game was, or the bout, was that there's a whole set of posters that, I mean, including Buster here. And tell me a bit. And a lot of the posters are, I mean, apparently they're drawn from photographs, but they are sort of comic book like.
I'll tell you, I'm going to put him right on the spot.
Do it. Go ahead and throw him out there.
Because he's not here to get embarrassed. But
he's the best.
Craig Williams, our vice president of the league, is Christina Williams, or Posey Mortem. And her husband is an amazing, amazing artist. And he's done all of our posters. And if you haven't seen them at About or wherever, you need to get on our Facebook and check them out.
We are so much fun.
We are spoiled rotten with posters.
We really are. We don't.
There's a lot of them, yeah.
T-shirts. We decided Mortem can't ever leave because we're afraid he would be done with us.
Both.
Too,
I would never want to lose her on the track or administratively. And then we've been so fortunate to have that. I see other like clip art type posters for events, and I think, oh my gosh, thank you, Craig.
I want to play one more little clip here. This is a chant. Let's do this, and then we'll come back. So Eva, I have to ask, what are you saying?
I'm saying 1, 2, 3, and even though my voice was cracking. It was before puberty.
It was like last week. We all follow back with kill, kill, kill.
Oh, okay. Because I was listening and saying, what is it they're saying?
We're saying kill, kill, kill.
It's no big deal.
That's the All-Stars teams, but my team does something a little more innocent. What do we say?
Our team is red hot.
Our team is red hot.
Red hot.
And at the end, they say, once we start,
we can't be stopped. Red hot. That's for Waikamikazes.
And that was a lot of fun. I enjoy doing that one.
They're both great.
Well, it's been really great having everybody here. And it's, as I said, it's a great game. Certainly come a long way since today. Certainly when I first became aware of it. We have Eva Paxton. She, of course, is known as Buster Skull. Also, Caitlin Marvel, when her name is Marvelous. Blunt Marvelous. And also, Carol DeMartin, who is Nitro Dame. And I appreciate all of you coming. And I encourage people to go to the game because it is a lot of fun to watch. And, of course, we could not leave without having just a little bit of Jim Croce. 5, 4, 6, 2, 15.
A beachfront farmer with a streak of mean. She knew how to knuckle and she knew how to scuffle and fight. And a roller derby program said that she...
And this is Don Rush. You've been listening to Delmarva Public Radio, and thanks for listening.
Delmarva Today is a production of Delmarva Public Radio. Don Rush is the host. Chris Rank is the executive producer and audio engineer. You can listen to this program again on our website, delmarvapublicradio.net. You can also view our program on PAC-14 television and on demand. Visit PAC-14.org for full details and schedules.